It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Dave and Dejanovic.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, he was in Utah, it was yesterday, and he delivered a speech, and to me it sounded a lot like a presidential campaign speech. Right out of the gates, sticking it to the CDC and their new mask guidelines to the maskless crowd.
Did you not get the CDC's memo? I don't see you guys complying. And I say that jokingly, but I think that that may be a sign of potentially seeking to do more things into the future. And I think it's very important that we say unequivocally no to lockdowns, no to school closures, no to restrictions, and no mandates.
He was at the ALEC conference in Salt Lake City, and it included speeches and workshops for conservative lawmakers across the country. I think it continues today, Dave.
Yeah, DeSantis did sound presidential, which kind of, to me, says it's kind of awkward, right? I mean, a lot of these speeches, and there's a cadence and there's a tenor to it. It's almost like they're written very well, but they're just hard to deliver.
Consigned to live in a Faucian dystopia in which we're governed by the whims of bureaucratic authorities who care little for our freedom, little for our aspirations, and little for our happiness. No more. We can't let it happen going forward.
Yeah, he's a little flat there. And it did seem more.
No more.
Yeah.
Period.
For the first couple of minutes, right. I think he relaxed and started talking about the successes of Florida. And that's his circle, right? Florida is in his circle. It's in his domain about Florida during the pandemic.
So over the last year, Florida chose freedom over Fauciism. We continue to do that. That means having an economy that's open, protecting people's right to earn a living, making sure that people's livelihoods are intact. We were projected to be an economic basket case when COVID first hit because people said, look, no one's going to go. Tourism's going to dry up. You're going to have all these problems, whatever. And, you know, I was resolved to make sure that, you know, while all these other states just continued to beat people down, lock them down, we would be lifting people up.
Boyd Matheson with Inside Sources joins us. Freedom over Fauciism. That's a pretty good line.
There were a lot of lines that were tested in that in that speech, because sometimes those speeches that there is a purpose to that in terms of testing messaging, testing lines. What resonates with people? And remember, this was a group of legislators. These are people from the House and Senate in all 50 states that really come to talk about policy. But they are very influential, and so there was some strategy behind that, I think, for Governor DeSantis.
You were there, and you've also written a number of speeches. Is this a presidential address? Does he need to kind of, I don't know, beef it up a little bit?
Yeah, obviously this is very early in the process, but his name is in the middle of a lot of the 2024, you know, prognostication. And so he is doing that, and he has a national profile. He's from a big state like Florida that always is critical to presidential elections. So he checks a lot of the boxes in those spaces. So he definitely tried a few lines and did a few things. But as you said, Debbie, where he actually got really good was when he actually got back to the policy issues and the things that actually make states the real focus and states the real pattern for success in the country.
I saw a recent GOP poll. I think it was published by Axios. But it had DeSantis, Governor DeSantis, and Donald Trump Jr. neck and neck when it comes to popularity, or, you know, at least favorability, which really surprised me. So let's tackle that a little bit. Can DeSantis beat out either of the Trumps? So let's start with the former president.
Yeah, I think the role of the former president is to be determined. We are still light years away from anything really happening there. And I think I said it on this show first. Nothing fades faster than the influence of a former politician. And the Trump campaign is starting to feel that in very real ways, as some of that really diehard support, but mostly that middle support that actually got them the election in 2016 is starting to erode. And so it will be interesting to see what the former president does. Don Jr., of course, was a spokesperson for his dad in many settings and was quite popular, you know, young, charismatic, a little different version of his dad. And so he still has some play there with the base of the Republican Party.
But is his name recognition, because it carries his dad's name as well, he's a junior, but yeah. Is his name recognition helping him out here?
Not at this point in the program, no. And I don't think it will in the end. It will become one of those helps you a little, hurts you a little, probably a wash in the end as you look at that kind of presidential stuff. But to me, the real challenge on the presidential side is, again, we're so far out there. The biggest challenge for Governor DeSantis is that he is leading early. And winning a presidential election is all about peaking at the right time. Just like our Olympic athletes have got to peak at the right moment. I've seen presidential campaigns. Just a quick example. Marco Rubio was a good one, but he peaked so early and then just, you know, got pummeled because he had this big target on his back. Or Scott Walker, again, on the Republican side, very similar kinds of things. And you can look at the same things on the Democratic side with that large field. Even Kamala Harris, the vice president, peaked way too early as a presidential candidate and then couldn't sustain it moving out. So a lot of gyrations yet to come on the presidential front.
What has DeSantis done in Florida? And compare that a little bit to what we've done here in Utah.
Yeah, there are some interesting similarities in terms of the way that he has governed Florida and what we tend to do here in the state of Utah. It was really interesting at the conference yesterday. There is kind of this buzz. There's a lot of Utah envy out there in state legislatures, and they come and they look what the Utah legislature has been able to get done on everything from immigration to LGBTQ and balancing religious liberty rights. And a host of other issues. So there's a lot of looking for things there. And Governor DeSantis plays in that space, limited government, free market economy, but civil society of having individuals and communities come together to solve problems rather than having government do everything. So there is a message that definitely resonates. And it resonates here in the state of Utah, resonates across the country. And so I think that's, you know, part of his legacy in Florida will be that he kept things open, that he tried to keep the economy rolling, even in a pretty tough time.
He, you know, certainly mocked the CDC during his speech here in Utah regarding the mask guidance that they reversed on earlier this week. But Florida does not have the best track record in the nation for keeping COVID cases low. How will that play into the campaign if he decides to make a run for the White House?
Yeah, I think there's two things in that question, Debbie. I think one, there is the COVID component. And the interesting thing is you can compare and contrast to Governor Cuomo in New York, Governor Newsom in California, and Governor DeSantis in Florida. They all took vastly different approaches, and they all had seasons where they were leading and succeeding and periods where they were the worst of the worst. And so I think Florida's that same way. It had some great moments. It's had some really bad moments. And the resurgence, I think, is troubling for Florida. So I think that will be a problem. The other problem, the challenge he has in the short term, is that he's still not the king of Florida. Former President Trump is still the king of Florida. He may be the Grand Duke or Arch something or another. Right.
But he carries a title.
He still has to do a few more things in Florida before he starts looking for places like Iowa and Delaware and Maine.
Board Matheson, thank you so much. Very interesting, a big headliner, really, to come here to Utah, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. We want to know what's next. I mean, how do you feel? How does Utah feel about it? Are they in love with Ron DeSantis?
801-575-TALK. Is DeSantis the man for the White House? We want your calls. 801-575-TALK. If it's not DeSantis, then call us with your top GOP contender. Taking your live calls straight ahead. Utah had a visitor. It was Governor Ron DeSantis from Florida. He was in town yesterday and gave a speech. He came out hot. Taking it to the CDC.
Did you not get the CDC's memo? I don't see you guys complying.
going after Fauci.
So over the last year, Florida chose freedom over Fauciism.
Freedom over Fauciism, testing out a few lines there. But he's not just a rising star right now for the Republicans. He is the man. We want to know if you agree. We're taking your phone calls. 801-575-TALK. Is DeSantis the man for Republicans?
Tamara from Draper, are you on board with DeSantis?
Hi. I wouldn't vote for that guy if he were the last person on earth.
How do you really feel about it, Tamara?
Terrible.
Why?
I think he lies a lot. He doesn't care about the people. He's never going to lock anything down. He's never going to do anything. He should be worried about what the people want and what the people need. Not following Trump's, I think he just follows Trump's line of thought. If I were to vote for a Republican at all, which I think is going to be a long time before I do that, I would vote for somebody like Larry Hogan in Maryland. I would vote for John Kasich, somebody like that. But Ron DeSantis, no, absolutely not. I don't think he's right.
We appreciate your phone call. Thanks. Not a surprise that if you're a Democrat, you don't like Ron DeSantis. I mean, that's not going to be a surprise. The thing is, and what we're seeing is that he's very popular amongst Republicans right now. A recent Axios poll had he and Donald Trump Jr. with the highest favorability ratings. So Don Jr. actually was the leader at 55%, but just behind Don was DeSantis, just a point behind at 54%. Do you know who's almost dead last right now?
Liz Cheney. She was negative 43 in that poll.
Yeah,
I didn't know. I thought I've never seen a poll that puts you in the negative 43. I mean, it's like an F minus minus minus. She, of course, from Wyoming and has stirred quite a bit of controversy back in D.C. over the insurrection. And she's now sitting on that committee. Well, the hearings have been going all week long. And she's been pretty outspoken about that as well. Hey, more phone calls. John from Holiday. Is Liz Cheney your top pick?
No, I'm a Ron DeSantis fan.
You are.
I think, yeah, I have a home in Orlando. I live in Holiday. I think he has some great policies. He's a conservative. He's not a shutdown mandate mask individual. Just example, Disney World, I mean, it was open, it was great, a lot of people there, it helped the economy versus California, and I think Nikki Haley would be a great running mate for him.
DeSantis, Haley? Well, I think they're both probably going to be running, so we'll see who comes out on top.
It's interesting you brought up Nikki Haley before the show, John. I was having a conversation in the newsroom with Boyd Matheson, and we talked about Nikki Haley. And I was surprised, according to this Axios poll, she's not even on there anywhere. It's as though she's kind of just disappeared. But Kevin McCarthy, even below Governor DeSantis and Donald Trump Jr. and House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy gets a lot more airtime right now than either Donald Trump Jr. is getting or Ron DeSantis.
Yeah, I think with Don Jr., though, he was making the rounds for 4 years. He was on Fox News, it seemed like, just about every day. But DeSantis has been very, very vocal in his criticism about the national response to COVID. He thinks the lockdowns, the shutting down the schools was just a disaster. This was something that he did in Florida where he left schools open. They were never mandates. So for conservatives, that really resonates. And in fact, Florida's response was similar to Utah's, but even less restrictive. We had mask mandates. We may have been late to the party, but we still, attended the party. Florida, they were very anti, and that was really led by Ron DeSantis.
Looking up the case counts, though, from Florida yesterday, 16,000 cases Of course, how many people live there? Millions and millions. Does not have the positivity rate here on the chart that I'm looking at, but the seven-day average there is 13,000. They haven't been exactly stellar in terms of their case counts there.
Nobody has, though.
Okay, but still.
you're seeing it in, it just depends on which month you're looking at. And this is what's happened with COVID. So when I was listening to this speech at the ALEC conference yesterday, he said there were responses all over the country and varied. You had New York's response. You had California's shut down everything response. You had Florida's keep everything open response. And this is what Governor DeSantis said. We all got hit, and we all got hit hard at some point. So his point was everyone got hit. It was just nothing you could do to really stop COVID from coming into your state. Well, if there's nothing you can really do, then why not leave it open? Why not keep businesses open? That's the point he was trying to make.
And during his speech yesterday, it wasn't just about Fauci. It wasn't just about masks and the CDC. He also went after big media. He went after big tech and the big D.C. bureaucracy.
The way it is right now in this country, when you stand for freedom, when you stand for those core values that make America unique, there's a lot of folks that are going to come after you. Corporate media will come after you and smear you. Big tech will likely try to censor you or deplatform. And I don't even need to talk about the bureaucracy and what's going on in Washington right now. So it requires people to have courage. When you're in this arena, understand when you're fighting, you got to be able to take a punch and stand strong.
You're going to need the big media and big tech, though, to do a lot of advertising if he plans on running for that big job in the White House.
Yeah, very common talking points for conservatives, very frustrated with their treatment in the media, very frustrated with the deplatforming. You heard him talk about that. That's probably a direct attack about taking Donald Trump off Facebook, off of Twitter, where they really silenced the Republicans' most powerful voice. So not a big surprise that he's going after the media, the tech companies, and obviously everybody hates the Washington, D.C. bureaucracy and the garbage that goes on over there.
He's going to have to work with them, though, if he ends up in the White House. Here's his parting line.
When you stand up for the people that sent you in your offices and they see you fighting and they see you fighting against the grain, man, they will be there for you thick and thin. They will walk over broken glass barefoot to be able to support you. So in Florida, we'll continue to stand firm. We'll be holding the line. We will not back down. And I can tell you this, we've only begun to fight.
That's the key right there. We've only begun to fight. And earlier in the speech, he talked about how they've gone against the Biden administration, how they fought them on this and they fought them on that, which I think was, and this isn't a surprise to anybody, but it does kind of allude to the fact that he's going to be going after Biden, you know, in 3 years. And one thing we have learned is it's never too early to start campaigning. Everyone wants to dip their toes in the water, but Boyd Matheson just did say this. You can peak too early. And DeSantis right now is definitely peaking.
In the 10 o'clock hour, we are learning a lot more about that parking lot road rage incident that police say started in the Walmart parking lot, carried over to the Target parking lot in Centerville. Police calling in live next to explain why it is worse than we originally thought it was.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.